Something that people in the BizNews tribe probably don't know is that I served on governing bodies of educational institutions in South Africa, in the new South Africa, and in fact, chaired a couple of those governing bodies. So I know a little bit about what's going on in the education world and how much tension, political tension there is. But I've never come across anything that's been even vaguely similar to what's happening at the Pretoria Girls School, High School for Girls. And Sergio Dos Santos, who's the member of the provincial legislature for the Democratic Alliance, who looks after this portfolio, will bring us up to date with the latest bizarre development, where it just seems as though some politicians have got a bone in their mouths and they won't let it go. Thanks for joining us, Sergio. Before we get on to the latest bizarre bit of treatment from the ANC, let's begin with Mrs. Philippa Erasmus, who is the headmistress of Pretoria's High School for Girls. It's not the first time that she's been in the crosshairs.
Yes, I believe so. There's been at least one case before, a couple of years ago.
And what happened there?
So the allegation was that there was victimization of black learners in terms of their hair, but that matter had been dealt with at the time as well. So it was also blown out of proportion. There was a similar issue at JPI School for Girls, but the issue had been resolved. So that was, I think, back in 2019, 2020, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. And now there's a new issue. It's so bizarre that I'm not even going to try and describe it. Perhaps you can.
Yeah. So there was, to go from the beginning, so there was a WhatsApp group that had several learners from the school that were just venting. And that eventually leads to the department. The department took it as a view that it was racist, and the department got involved. When these allegations first had arisen from the school, and it was taken up with Mrs. Erasmus, she dealt with the matter and she looked into it, and she came to the conclusion that it wasn't racist. When the department eventually got involved and there was a disciplinary process, the 12 learners, there were 12 learners in total that were suspended. Also, in terms of that, they were vilified and victimized at the school by the officials from the Gauteng Department of Education during an assembly. They asked, you know, all the learners, what should we do with these children?
We're not in Vienna here. Just say it as it is. These were white girls, and they were allegedly racist against black girls, and the department came in to sort out the white girls. And that's essentially where we are.
Yeah, look, you know, any form of racism should be dealt with. In this particular case, it was 12 white learners that allegedly were making remarks against black learners. So in this particular assembly, the officials from the district, from the Gauteng Department of Education, had actually exposed who these girls were, and actually said, what should we do with these girls? And to the point that these girls were so afraid that they actually had to hide at the school grounds in case of victimization. They were eventually suspended. There was a due process where there was an investigation, and the girls were cleared of racism. The department wasn't happy with that, and they launched a full-scale investigation into the school, into racism and the culture of racism into the school, which obviously included Mrs. Erasmus as the principal for allegedly protecting these 12 white learners and not dealing with the racism in the school. The initial investigation was supposed to have taken 7 days. It took 3 months to complete the investigation. During this investigation, they could not find anything that remotely related to racism. So people within the school were informing me, but hey, wait a minute. Now they're asking for documents from 5 years ago, 6 years ago. They were looking into every other aspect of the school, except for the terms of reference, which was the culture of racism at the school. So it took 3 months, and after pressure from us saying, hey, you know, it's been 3 months, you know, in terms of the act, you're only allowed to suspend for 3 months. Eventually, there was a press conference and she was reinstated. And this Matlamana attorney's reports that no one has seen to date, not even the accused, came out with a document saying that, you know, these are the three charges that she needs to be looked at. And that was nepotism, it was an appointment of the finance person, as well as the culture of racism. But the school had already found her innocent in terms of the racism charge. Now you have an investigation, you have a disciplinary process, and yet again, she's been found not guilty in terms of the racism charge. But now she's been found guilty of a misconduct in terms of allowing her husband to do voluntary garden work at the school, as well as the not fairly following or giving the SGB guidance in terms of the appointment of the finance person at the school. Now, the SGB had chosen who the person would be to deal with the school finances. There is no indication from the department that there's been any financial misconduct whatsoever at the school. And it was a SGB decision, and she had experience. She may not have the qualifications, but she has the experience. And the financial records of the school, according to the school, is, you know, in part. There's no issues, and the department never highlighted any of that. But now to find someone guilty because their husband was assisting the school voluntarily.
They never got paid.
Never got paid to do the school's gardens. Now, the only fault that they had was that they used the school bucky to go to the local warehouse to buy materials to come back to the school to continue doing the landscaping. That's the fault. And that's where I find it very concerning as members of the SGB, as parents of a school. We should be encouraging school parents, the school community, to come on board and help the school. You know, so there's many schools like you've seen in Eldorado Park, just before, prior to the new academic year, they'll go in and they'll clean up, maybe they'll paint. That puts a bit of fear into people's minds now. Now, if I'm related to a teacher or an educator, or to the principal, I'm going to think twice about doing anything voluntary work at a school because she or he may be found guilty of nepotism. It's absolutely ridiculous. And my view is that they went in hard because they firmly believed that there was a case of racism and it was being covered up. She's been cleared at least three times. She's been cleared now three times of that, and they had to find something specific to charge her with. And the sanction as well, 3 months without pay is absolutely ridiculous just because her husband was helping with garden work. Now, the issue that I have is that MEC Chogwane and the department, and there's at least two officials from the district office, and one of them has just now recently, a few months ago, been recently appointed as the permanent district director. They had already found all the learners and the principal and the deputy principal guilty without any investigation. They had found her guilty, and their sole purpose was to get these people out of the school for whatever reason. And one of those officials, and I'm going to say it, one of those officials, it is alleged that their child goes to that same school, who is an official of the Department of Education, owes the school money, and at one stage had applied and was getting a subsidy for school fees. That's one official from the department that was involved in all of this. But it's concerning that the department has been so targeted at this particular school for some odd reason. Now, you've got other cases where, and I'm going to say it, you've got serious allegations against the Vatapulafai principal, much more serious allegations. He was suspended for 3 months. He's come back only after I submitted questions more recently. In fact, the week that they were supposed to respond to the replies, they suspended him and transferred him, temporarily transferred him to the district office. Then you've got other cases where Davidson, the principal, approved a school trip without sanctioning a school trip, without going through the proper process, and learners died from that school trip. So it seems like this particular case, there was just this targeted approach, and we don't understand this political vendetta. Why is it against Pretoria High School for Girls? Why is it against Mrs. Erasmus? And we just can't seem to understand and put my head around it as to why this particular school is always targeted.
The problem with that, I guess, is that people draw their own conclusions. And if you've got a member of the education department who owes money to the school and has been asked to pay that money or to face the consequences, this is the republic of no consequences, Sergio. We know that. But what I'd like to know from you is, why is it Gauteng? Why is Gauteng seemingly the hotspot for all of this kind of educational conflict?
So I would firstly say that Premier Lesufi and MEC Chilwane have a very strong stance in terms of race, number one. If you're looking at all the provinces in terms of the Bella Act, and it's no lie that as the DA, we opposed the Bella Act for the Bella Bill at the time for various reasons. As we believe that the Bella Bill didn't engage directly in terms of improving learner improvements, and there were other aspects such as homeschooling that we were concerned of, etc. Premier Lesufi was one of the first ones when the Bella Act went through that said that we are going to be implementing it immediately. And the problem with that particular, one of the particular aspects of the Bella Bill, is that it gives the HOD and the MEC, or the HOD ultimately and the MEC ultimately, the powers to decide on the school admissions policy as well as the language policy.
So now, who's as HOD? Who's HOD?
The HOD has actually been moved now.
What does that HOD mean? What does it
say? So recently, Premier Lesufi had announced that three HODs from the various departments failed.
You're not getting me. What does HOD mean? What does it stand for?
Sorry, head of department. Head of department.
Head of department. Okay.
Sorry.
Good.
No worries. I'm so used to acronyms, so I just assume everyone knows. So one of the concerns that we have is that Premier Lesufi has already announced, you know, more than once, even when he was MEC for Education, and MEC Chilwane is following the same suit, is that they are going to use the Bella Bill to target these type of schools, like Pretoria High School for Girls, and ensure that the admissions policy and the language policy changes. Now, in their mind, they seem to think that Pretoria High School for Girls is predominantly a white school. You go to the school, majority of the children at Pretoria High School for Girls is non-white, and that's just the reality. I've been there twice. I've seen the learners. But they seem to want to be able to target Afrikaans schools especially, and wanting to change the language policies and the admissions policies. Now, the issue that I have is that the school itself is better placed to know what type of admission policy that they would want and what type of language policy that they would want, and not ultimately the MEC and the HOD, because the school will make a recommendation, they have a policy, and the HOD can completely turn it around. Now, the problem with that is that we've got a lack of schools, number one, firstly, in the province. The department themselves don't even know how many schools is actually needed. From 2 years ago, you could say that two years ago, they said we needed about 130 schools. It went up last year to over 300 schools. And more recently this year, the MEC, Chilwane, said over 200 schools. So the department themselves don't even know how many schools is needed. But what is needed is schools closer to communities. You've got people from Hammanskraal, Shoshanguve, traveling all the way to Teresa Park, to Pretoria North. traveling 60 kilometers a day at times. And that is part of the problem, is that we need schools closer to where communities live. And in terms of the policy, there needs to be a school within a 5 kilometer from the community. And I do believe that Pretoria High School for Girls is just one of those targets of schools that is going to be used as an example. And I can promise you now that when the Bella Act has been enacted already and the regulations have started to come out, when the Bella Act is going to be implemented, you're going to be seeing one of the first schools that's going to be targeted is going to be Pretoria High School for Girls, for whatever reason.
It's an extraordinary situation. South Africa is being used as a cautionary tale by the United States now in its trade negotiations. One hopes that the people in America don't get to hear these stories, because then they will believe the worst of our country. But let's get back to Mrs. Erasmus. What is going to happen to her now? So her husband has come in. He's assisted in the gardens, in the horticultural beauty of Pretoria Girls. He hasn't been paid anything for it, but now she's going to get no pay for 3 months. That just sounds ridiculous. But what happens here? Does she now sue the department? Does she resign? What's keeping her there?
So I'm not privy to what she's going to do as yet. I'm sure that will come out in the next few days. But I would recommend that she makes an appeal in terms of the sanction. Part of the issue that we have is that the investigation report from Mantlamana attorneys has not been made public at all. Portfolio committee has not seen it. Accused, Mrs. Erasmus, or her lawyers have not seen the document. And that just also speaks to, you know, if there is a need to protect learners, you can redact those names. You can redact the names, you can redact the parents' names, whatever you want to redact, you can redact. And that's what we've called for. Release the document, redact it, and allow people to judge for themselves. Now, I would suggest that Mrs. Erasmus goes for an appeal immediately and look at other avenues in terms of taking this forward. But what we are calling for the MEC to do is, if there is nothing to hide, release the report. Release the report, redact all the names, and allow people to read the report itself. But again, you know, just to not allow the accused to even have sight of the report is also damning. Just want to give you one more example.
It's crazy stuff here. Please do.
Just to give you one example, one of the officials that I mentioned earlier from the district that stood up in the assembly, he was approached, and I'm going back to Vatopolofai now as an example. He was approached with regards to various allegations against the principal of Vatopolofai by a learner with her parents. The next day, the school knew about who this learner was. The principal knew. Teachers knew. Other learners knew. And the only person that knew who, you know, had received this complaint was one of these officials. And this is one of the same officials that seems to be that is targeting Pretoria High School for Girls. So it seems strange that the department is so concerned about protecting the identity of learners, which they minors, they need to be protected. But in another instance, in a more serious case, in my view, they didn't protect the learner's name to the point where the learner had to remove, you know, had to leave the school, and they actually moved provinces. That's how bad it was.
Well, we do have Richard Wilkinson, who's been on this case and been writing about it for a while, and I'm sure that his pressure has certainly caused some kind of a change. But when one looks at Gauteng, there is so much going on that's a mess. Now to start fiddling with the education system and making outrageous allegations of this sort is, you just got to wonder who these people are. Sergio Dos Santos is a member of the provincial legislature in Gauteng. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.